Okay. Next weekend is 4th of July weekend.
It is?
I think so, because Sunday is the 2nd. Sunday is the 2nd, so Monday is the 3rd. That'll be a federal holiday, because the 4th is on Tuesday. So we're not going to meet next Monday, because everybody would be off on holiday doing stuff. So we're going to skip a week next week and then go back the next week. Okay?
I might be the following week, because my family reunion. So I'm going to go the 8th.
Oh, you can't go 2 weeks without seeing this.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
That's really terrible.
I got to drive back, you know.
How long a ride?
It's like 8 hours, 7-8 hours. Okay. I'll probably come back on Monday.
Okay, we are in the Fourth Dwelling Place, Chapter 3. And we have to remember that in this Fourth Dwelling Place, this is the first place where God is beginning to do the work in our soul. It's the place where he's beginning to kind of take over our spiritual growth and direction. The first three chapters, dwelling places, we were doing most of the work.
Thanks.
But now he's coming in. And so you see different experiences in prayer. People move away from just the standard prayers, you know, the vocal prayers and all, and they start actually talking to God like he's their best friend. And that's what this chapter is about. This dwelling place is about.
What? It's like 4-3.
Yeah. Right now we're
5-1.
We're setting 4-3-5-1.
Okay, got it.
And so up until that time, she talked about this thing called the prayer of recollection. You can read about it in the book of her life. It covers like 4 or 5 chapters. It's not exactly easy to understand what she's really talking about there when you read it. It's kind of jumbled up, but you can get an idea of it. But there's a brochure that ICS Publications is putting out. I think I mentioned it to you already. It's on the prayer of recollection. It's kind of a summary of it. So it's out of print right now. They're getting ready to put it back in print. So when those come out, I'll get some for us.
They probably have it on the internet too, don't they? On YouTube or something.
I don't know if they do or not.
They have so much.
Oh yeah, they do. They might have it there. I don't know. But the friars are in the process of revising it from what it was, and they're also adding a little something else to it. Okay. And so when all that's done, they're going to make it available again. So you'll get them. It's not expensive. You get a whole pack of like 20 of them for $4, you know.
I can't afford to
pass it up, so I'm going to get 4 or 5 packs of them. Give a couple of to Eleanor here to use with her group.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll give the rest to you guys.
Yeah.
But it'd be a nice little summary thing to have, you know. But Teresa says using that prayer methodology helps you grow into this prayer of union a lot faster than you would otherwise. And so that's a good thing, you know. So she talked about that in the what we've covered so far in this. So we're now at 4-3-5-1. So she says, after telling us that love must have been awakened for us to begin to experience these favors, including hearing and seeing with the eyes and ears of the soul, she will give us her reasons. First, she says, in this work of the Spirit, the one who thinks less and has less desire to act does more. What we must do is beg and then lower our eyes and wait with humility. We cannot demand God speaks to us. We can only ask, beg him, so that we can follow his guidance and command. This requires humility, because you're putting yourself totally in his hands and control. You're not trying to be in control. First three chapters, you were kind of in control, getting rid of all the junk. But now you're turning control over to God in this growth. So what confidence do you have that God will speak to your soul if you have the humility and recognize your station compared to who he is?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he? He wants you to be with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you should have great confidence that he will do that.
Right. I think we just don't always have humility.
Yeah, that's the deal. love, she says love. You got to have love.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to love God. Yeah. And how do you love God?
Do his will.
Yeah, do his commandments. Yeah. She tells us that. You know, and then she also says love your neighbor. She says you always know how much you love God by how much you love your neighbor. And so you love your neighbor by being good to them, not being judgmental, not condemning them, you know, trying to help them grow as much as you're trying to grow. You know, try to be nice to them. Don't be mean to your neighbor.
Try, that's the word.
That's try. It's not always easy. Not always easy, but you try. Okay. So, so if you have the humility and recognize your station, then he will do this. He will do this.
Isn't that cool? That he does?
Yeah.
But she also has a thing about seeing things with the eyes and ears of the soul. That's something you have to grow into and learn how to use, because you look at everything from a spiritual perspective. You don't look at everything just as from a physical perspective. And so you're looking at what is the spirituality of this? You know, when somebody new comes into your life, you can say, oh, hi, glad to meet you. Or you can ask yourself, why are they into my life? You know, why did God send this person into my life? Am I supposed to help them? Are they supposed to help me? Are we supposed to be friends for 2 days and then go apart, or be lifelong friends? You know, you don't know why. So you ask yourself, and then you look for signs as to why God sent this person into your life. And then you go from there. It's almost never by accident. Mm. You know? God doesn't do accidents. He's always got a purpose in mind of everything he does. So that's kind of something that that we do. So you hear and see with the eyes and ears of the soul. And she says love is really something you really have to have. Love must have been awakened for us to begin to experience these favors. So you have to actually live your life in love. That means loving others, loving God, loving yourself. You know, a lot of people have a very poor self-image and they don't love themselves. You've got to learn how to love yourself, because God loves you. You know, if God, who created the universe, is willing to love you, then you ought to be willing to love yourself. And it's hard for some people to do that, you know.
A lot depends on your family.
Yeah, a lot depends on the family, yeah. Just like, you know, I told you before about that anaclitic depression thing, where if you don't show a child love by the time they're five, it has an effect on the first of their lives. You know, love is so important, you know. People don't realize how important it is.
But see, that's what's wrong with our society. Especially in the cities, where you have the juveniles killing.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Well, you also have people that live in the same apartment building and never speak to each other.
Yeah.
You know, they go out of their door, go to the elevator, go to work, come home, get the elevator, go up to their apartment. They never say hello to their neighbor. They don't even know who the neighbors are.
You know, it's like a change
in the world.
Yeah.
In society. Because I was raised, you know, I was born in 39, and we lived in a big apartment building, 6-7 floors. Everyone left the doors open. We knew everybody in that apartment building.
The world,
well, it never happened today.
You couldn't do it today.
But it wouldn't be safe.
Right.
Not today.
Think how recent that was.
39.
Yeah.
I was raised in the 40s.
Yeah.
Don't really think about that, really. Yeah. Because the reason it's not safe anymore is because it wasn't really safe then. But it was a lot more safe.
But we have this crisis in families.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
An attitude toward life.
Yeah. Well, I was born and raised in New Orleans, you know, in the city.
Yeah.
And when we'd go out and play, we had a whole neighborhood full of mothers.
Yeah, we did.
You know, and none of them had any hesitation at all in calling us out if we did something wrong.
Yeah.
They said, I'm going to call your mother, you know. And there was no hesitation whatsoever. They'd fuss at us and they'd bring us in, give us lunch. You know, it's like we had families all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they all knew each other, you know. They would come, the wives sometimes would come together and have lunch or, you know, talk and whatever, go to grocery and everything. There's a lot of communication within the neighborhood. Yeah. You don't see that now.
No. And no religions.
Except
we had
yeah.
every
Wisconsin
religion and every religion.
You still yeah. know that. So you just covered up your
see,
face.
See, the mothers part and the kids were in daycare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You knew the families.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, but it was a whole different world back then.
It
yeah.
was.
Oh,
yeah.
Different, completely.
Yeah, it really was.
My mom was a farmer, so they didn't really go see their neighbors
no,
much, I
right.
think, you know.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Teresa says that she's talking about this prayer of union that Jesus calls you to. And again, we got to remember, he's the one doing the calling. We can't initiate this on our own. We have to let him take the initiative to bring us there. And he won't do it unless we're properly disposed for him to do it. She says, the soul does become quite a fool when it tries to induce this prayer. It is left much drier. Because it's trying to force the issue with God. You can't force God to do anything. Okay. And the imagination perhaps becomes more restless through the effort made not to think of anything. But the Lord desires that we beseech him and call to mind that we are in his presence. He knows what is suitable for us. We cannot induce this prayer. It's a gift from God. We must also recognize our dependence on him for everything that is good. What must we have in addition to humility to be disposed to accept this gift from God?
Self-knowledge.
Yep, you got to know yourself.
And
all through
trust.
This thing.
Yeah.
Yep, good.
Trust.
Yeah, trust in God. That's right. Remember in St. Faustina's diary, Jesus keeps saying how often, you know, it bothers him when people don't trust him.
Lack you, of fear, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole Bible's about trust.
Yeah.
So it must have been hard for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to just put yourself in his, you got to just say, okay, I place myself in your loving hands. Do with me whatever you want. It takes a lot to do that, you know?
Mm. And, you know, if you think, well, with the nuns, God bless them, so many thoughts come back. I mean, if you love God, if he died for you on the cross, can he do this little thing you need in your life, that little thing? I mean, it's logic. I think a lot of religion is, I mean, it's
common
spiritual
sense.
Logic and common sense.
Yeah.
He died. He's not going to help you in this relationship. It
yeah.
doesn't make sense.
He was willing to die for you.
Yeah.
Do you think he wouldn't give you something small?
Hmm.
Yeah. It's you're right. It's you know, people just don't think of those things though.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, it's something. So you got to have humility, you got to have self-knowledge, and you got to have trust, and be willing to accept whatever he sends you. You know, now she says you beg him for this prayer of union. You go to him and ask him for stuff and all like that, mm-hmm. but he's going to give you what he knows you need, and so. Sometimes he's going to give you something you didn't ask for.
And
often. But it's always best, whatever he gives you.
And patience.
Yeah, patience too. Patience, yeah.
And perseverance.
Perseverance.
To keep going.
Yeah. At the very beginning of the book, she talked about how important perseverance is, if you remember. You know, that. So all those characteristics come together, especially now when we're transitioning over to where he's taking more control. And you're kind of, it's like John the Baptist said, you know, I must decrease and he must increase. And so you're decreasing in your self-control over your spiritual growth and letting him increase his role in your spiritual growth. And that's a really important thing to do. And it's hard because, you know, especially here in the United States, we always want to be in control, right? Self-determination and all that stuff like that. We don't have kings anymore, so we have all that stuff. And so it's a natural thing for us to want to be in control. And so it's hard for people with that kind of upbringing to say, I'm going to give up my control of my life and turn it over to God.
It's
hard.
Original sin almost seems to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, it does. Sure.
Our ego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Because it weakens us in that relationship. Yeah. Original sin is the effect we feel all the time. That's why John Paul II, when he's teaching on the theology of the body, we talked about original innocence and everything, and he said we have to try to get back to that state of original innocence as much as we can, knowing that we'll never go all the way, because we can't ever get back to the kind of state that Adam and Eve were in when they had original innocence, because they lost it. lost it for themselves and for us. Okay. She says she's talking about these different reasons, four or five reasons. So the fourth reason is that what is most essential and pleasing to God is that we be mindful of His honor and glory and forget ourselves in our own profit and comfort and delight. So you're doing everything for the greater. What's that Latin phrase? Ad majorem Dei gloriam, or something like that? For the greater glory of God? Yeah. So once again, Teresa's telling us not to be self-focused, but to focus only on God and His honor and glory. When we do give Him what is His due, He will give us His gifts and do so gratuitously. He knows better than we do what we need, so we must trust Him. There's that trusting again. How often do you consider the honor and glory of God and what you owe Him just because He is God, without thinking of what you want from Him? How hard is it to do this? Does this mean we should never petition God?
I think it's really hard. Even at the Mass, that's what it's about, but we forget.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, before we do something, I don't do it all the time, but like offer thee, O heart of Jesus, offer up everything we do.
Yeah.
I mean, I always say, what can I offer you? The little things I'm doing during the day.
Yeah.
That's easy. That we can do.
Apparently our chores are worth something to them, you know?
Sure.
I was surprised to hear that.
Oh, yeah, the smallest things. Well, somebody said did Jesus? I don't know. I forget who says what. If you pick up a pin for the love of God, it gives Him honor and glory.
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. I always think how many little opportunities that are missed.
Well, he talks about that in the Gospel where he says if you give a glass of water to someone because they are a disciple of mine, not because they're thirsty, but because they're a disciple of mine, you will receive your reward, you know?
You know, when we first moved to the county, we had to get the septic tank cleaned out, and that was 50 years ago. And I called this company, and this old, poor old black man came out, and he stood, and it wasn't like it is today. He stood there, and you know, and I kept asking if everything was okay, and he said, well, he could use a drink of water.
Aww.
And he said, just put it in some old thing that you want to throw out.
Aww.
And I put it in my finest glass.
Aww, yeah.
And gave it to him. I mean, it just made me feel so bad that's what he thought of himself.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was doing that job nobody else wants to do, wasn't he?
Right.
And then, we're so grateful. He doesn't realize how grateful we are.
Yeah.
And then 2 years ago, you know, when I had it cleaned out again, I made a coffee cake and gave it to the man. And he told me later, he said, that was the best coffee cake I ever had.
Yeah.
And I thought, and my daughter said, but he had probably ate it with his dirty hands.
I bet he didn't. He probably didn't. He probably knew better.
But my daughter, she always, when she has a repair man come, she always fixes something, like cookies and gives it to him. And I think that's such a nice thing because it shows you value them as a person.
We had the painter once. He's like, we had him 22 years ago, Ben the painter. Because his father, I think, John knew him from James. So then we got to know the son as the painter, so we used to get him over. And he was here like a week maybe doing the whole house. And he brought, I used to give him lunch. And he was like in shock. Because I mean, he's with us all day.
Yeah.
How can you ignore a guy? You know what I mean? But he became such a close friend. And when John died, he sent him a beautiful letter. I sent a beautiful remembrance of John. And he says, Eleanor, you call me. And I do call him once in a while. He just painted my shed. And he said, you call me anytime with any problem in your house. He said, I'm here for you.
That's really nice.
What's his last name?
Yeah, really.
Ben DeJulian.
He's my cousin. He's my cousin.
Goodness. I feel like he's part of my family.
He's a wonderful, wonderful person.
We talked religion after he died, after he came over. We sat and talked for an hour. And he opens up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that gives me such goosebumps.
Yeah.
the nicest guy in the world.
He is. Yeah.
In fact, I gave him, I'm cleaning out the shed, and I gave everybody paint and this, all this stuff. Let's take what you want. And I said, I got this big Weber grill, the dome. He says, you're not going to believe this. Mine broke, and I was going to buy one.
Oh, great.
He took it home. I was so happy. It was sitting there for
That's
a
amazing.
Year. Yeah. But nice. I connect God winks, this, like yeah. the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he's.
And we think it's all coincidence, you know.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if God's giggling when this happens.
You know? I just think he's up there connecting dots. Yeah. Like, okay, this person.
He's saying, okay, it's like playing chess, you know. He moves it here, moves it there.
There's books on that, the God Wink series.
Really?
I could get the name of the author. They're magnificent. Little thin books.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Quick, easy reads, then. Good story.
Yeah. Great.
Well, I often think of the guys that pick up my trash, too.
Yeah.
You know? It's such a thankless job. Nobody ever appreciates it until they don't do it.
Yeah.
And then if they don't do it, they get really appreciated, you know.
And waitresses.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always overtip a waitress because they work really hard, you know.
Yeah.
I did it for 3 weeks once in college, and I was like, it's memorable. I can't do this. I mean, it was really hard. You should appreciate what they do.
Well, and yeah. some people can be so nasty mean. To them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
keep smiling.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. They have a great constitution.
So once again, Teresa's telling us not to be self-focused, but to focus only on God. So, but how often do we actually consider the honor and glory of God and what we owe Him just because He is God? If you're just sitting around, you know, not necessarily in church, but just sitting around maybe saying a prayer or something, how often do you think of just the honor and glory of God and not asking Him for something? I wonder how often that happens. I bet not too often.
Not too
it's
often,
important
right?
to do it.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it really is important to recognize, because we have to love Him for who He is. Because we owe Him worship regardless of what He does for us. Even if He never did anything for us, we still owe Him worship because He's God. Mm-hmm. You know, and we kind of tend to forget that. Mm-hmm. Say, oh, He's this big powerful thing, so please give me stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, recently reading all the nonsense of the Synod, what keeps going through my mind is inside I almost wither with how it hurts the heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure He knew it was coming. He knew it all before it happened.
So. Oh, yeah.
That's true. Good.
But then He still died for us. He still died for this human race that's still going to blaspheme Him till the end of the world.
He's like, I died for this.
Okay, but anyway.
The saints always meditate on the compassion. Oh. But I think that's really hard because then you feel bad.
Yeah.
I guess that's part of being responsible for our behavior of all that.
Yeah.
That we feel, I mean, you know, that's important that we feel that.
Yeah. Right. You should feel like your sins are one more sin tacked onto the mother load that He's holding, you know?
Yeah. So when you pray, thank God for being your God. Thank you. Thank Him for how much He loves you. And thank Him for letting you be born into this church. Mm-hmm. Or come into this church as a convert.
Especially this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Father Brian gave the homily. When did we go? Oh, we went to a really early Sunday one. And he said, you know, we got to thank God because, you know, we are sitting here right now. And in a blink, we could be gone.
Yeah.
And you don't even think about that. You think, I'd have a car accident or something. But you know, you just say, bing.
We had company coming this weekend. Mm. And the last thing I said to him yesterday was, you're going to bring your swim trunks? After that, he had his heart shocked 5 times. And he's icy.
Really?
He probably won't make it through the week.
Really?
He was going to drive to our house on Thursday.
All because you asked him for swimming trunks?
I must have been.
What a shock.
He thought,
oh, no. He wanted to avoid that.
Yeah, I don't want to
he must have put him on and looked in the mirror. Oh, that's sad.
It's incredible. That's how fast what you're talking about.
That's right, yeah.
And today, you know, who knows if you'll make it through the day.
Yeah.
If you're shocked 5 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, but he was probably looking forward to the trip.
Oh, he was.
Yes. You know, so he's
driving
not in the bed. He's not
how old
in this
is he?
Low
79.
Oh.
Yeah. Depends on how healthy he was in you.
Yeah. Hey, that's something else. Yeah. Well, Jesus talks about in the Gospels. You remember the story about the guy who was going to build this new barn and put all your stuff in it? He said, "You fool, your soul will be demanded of me tonight."
Exactly.
You know, and so.
And some saints said, "Live each day as if it was your last," not in a morbid. But
then there was that group of monks that slept in their caskets. Who was that group?
I don't remember.
Them of their mortality.
I don't remember that.
That's a little
extreme.
That's a little extreme.
Well, my friend, the Dominican, she says, always keep my house. She's a riot. She lives alone because they don't have the confidence. And she says, I always keep my house great. She says, when I die, she says, I don't want people to come and say, what a slob that nun was. And I think that once in a while, too, I go, oh.
It's a good thing to have a healthy balance that, you know, you're not going to be gone tomorrow. And it's, you know, some people just don't want to talk about it. I've, like, said stuff to my mother-in-law. I'm like, you know, is there some jewelry you want to set aside for the girls? She has two granddaughters. I'm, like, saying you're not going to die tomorrow, but, you know, have you... My mother has talked about it for 20 years already. Like, I'm giving you that, I'm giving that, you know. And she's, you know, she didn't want to talk.
It brings a feeling to the... When you know that she gave it to them, that's different than, I want this.
Yeah.
You know?
My mother's already said,
everything.
My mother has designer purses.
It changes everything.
All my purses are going to my granddaughter, Ashley. She already claimed them all. I mean, she says it, and I'm like, you know, I think that's kind of joyful. Grandma wants you to have all that. You beat out all the other nieces and got
They have a sheet of paper at the Carmelites, and... it's like the Carmelites go as a group to the funeral parlor, and they will bring the statue, and they ask, what do you want? Do you want them to read the liturgy, say the rosary, do this, do that? And when you die, be sure you give the family the president of the group, and here's the phone number so that we know. And it's so beautiful. To have all that written out.
Well, you know, my mother visited me. I forgot when she did. The last time she came, she brought the stuff from the church and you pick things out. And she said, will you go over it with me? And I said, okay. It's kind of morbid, but it's also, it made her feel better. And we picked out the songs, like, and I get the YouTube out, and I'm like, Mom's like, I don't know what that song is. And we play a little bit. Oh, yeah, we say that every week. So we picked out the songs, and we picked out the readings, and we picked out, it's almost like doing your wedding.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I did that a year or two ago.
Well, it kind of is your wedding, because you're going to be on the wedding feast of the Lamb.
Yeah, they all have a copy. I said, these hymns, and then they also, they wanted a list of all the people to notify. Please, Mom. So, well, I went through the Rolodex. It was most of the Rolodex, and I said, oh, this is sick. I said,
but she has a great Rolodex if you ever need
it. Tell Ben the painter. But it's like, it's all written out, you know, the Psalms and the hymns and everything.
That's pretty cool.
It's all done.
I really like that idea.
Yeah.
And I said, none of this. I said, don't get the blanket of roses. I love roses and I know it. I said, you can get roses, pretty yellow. But I said, don't put this red blanket of roses on the coffin. I said, to get a nice little thing, but not this big red blanket.
It's a good thing you told him.
And I told him the dress, and I said, slit it up the back because it's not going to fit. But it was a nice, pretty dress that I wore at the wedding. You know, it has long, light blue, and it has beaded in the front. It's beautiful.
It's true.
But it's like, for me?
No, she wore it to
one of my girls' weddings.
Oh, okay.
But it's like this size, right? And so I said, slit the back. Nobody sees the back.
Oh, it's too funny.
Okay, so Teresa's telling us about how God teaches us. He doesn't come down and just talk to us. He infuses knowledge into our soul. And that's a whole different way of learning about God. So the faculties of the soul are the intellect and the will. Love is not an emotion, it's an act of the will. God teaches us by infusing knowledge directly into the intellect. Without knowing how it happens, since it requires no study and reading on our part, God occupies it in another way and gives it a light so far above what we could attain that remains absorbed. Since there's no limit to what God can do in the soul, he can give the soul more infused knowledge in seconds than it could acquire from years of study. What kinds of things is God likely to teach you in this prayer?
I think our experiences that we have in moments are like a ringing a bell or a light going off. I don't know if that's infused knowledge.
It could be.
You know, like you see somebody acting a certain way and you think, oh, I've done that in the past, and that's what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Maybe I shouldn't do that again. Like you're in the car and you're with a driver and they're complaining about every other car.
Yeah.
And it's like 15 minutes of this, and I think, oh, I've probably done this in the past. Okay, this is what, you know, that's just an example. But
he'll also infuse knowledge about himself and about yourself. Okay, so what is he going to teach you? What is he going to infuse in you? He's going to infuse it whatever he knows you need.
Can he give you, like, I get the feeling, like the depth of his love, that seems to change. It's like you get a sense of how much he really loves you.
Yeah.
And that.
And you will never realize the full potential of that.
Because it gets, like, bigger and bigger.
He loves you infinitely.
Yeah.
You look at the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus' high priest's prayer to the Father, right before he goes to his passion. And he's talking to the Father, and he says, you love them with the same love with which you love me. And the first time I read that, I sat there, just couldn't believe what I was reading, you know? That God the Father loves me with the same love that he loves Jesus. That just blew my mind. You know, to read that.
It's like you see things a million times or read them, and then
what
you. I remember I read a book, Mother Angelica, and she said something like, you know, Jesus says, I'm going to, you know, the quote, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But he said something like, why would I say this if it wasn't true?
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going, oh. He said, of course it's true.
Yeah.
And everything he's saying is true.
Sure.
But then you don't really, you know, all the times you read it, like, yeah. But then it's like he's saying it, like, right to your face almost, like, why would I say this if it wasn't true?
That's right.
Right. It's like, I think I'm going to say the same thing you said in different words. It's like you read anything in the Bible, and all of a sudden it becomes
alive.
More real.
Yeah.
Than you ever read.
Yeah.
Right?
The same thing, yeah.
Like, it's really
and you've
real.
Read it for years. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have you ever found something in the Bible? I actually was reading before my father died.
Yeah.
He lived in Minnesota, and I live here. And I would call him on the phone and read to him from the Bible.
Aww.
And, well, the last time we did it, I read something I had never read before. And I cannot find it again.
No. And, Google the words,
well,
and
no,
maybe
I
it'll
did.
Come
to There's nothing. There's nothing. Okay, and it, I mean, you can I tell you?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, what I read was it was about the righteous of God.
Righteous.
Okay, they are the pillars, they are the foundation, and God will protect them, like a mother dragon will come down and protect them, like that. Okay, and they will, when they die, they will go straight to heaven. They will shoot straight to heaven. And this is what I read, and I cannot find it.
It's not in the Bible.
Where is it?
I don't know, but it's not in the Bible.
I have never. I had the Living Way. Okay, the Living
Catholic Bible.
Yeah,
Bible.
The blue one. You know, the Living Word. Yeah, that's it. Open, and it was on the left side. This little section right here. Do you see what I'm saying?
Could it be a different translation? Like somebody? No.
No, it's the Living. It was that one. The thing of it is when I was in high school, my teacher, I remember him saying this: the Living Word of God can change. What do you think of that? I mean, that's what he taught us.
Post-Vatican too.
Yeah, definitely.
The Living Word of God never changes, because God never changes.
That's what I want.
God is immutable.
But
our understanding of the Word of God can change.
Okay. Mm.
The way we understand it, it can change, and that's how doctrine develops. We get a better and better and better understanding. Like if you read the entire Bible from front to back, you will never find an explanation of the Trinity as we know the Trinity is today. Because nowhere, Jesus talks about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
But he never says that they are three persons in one God. He never says that that is the nature of God, that he is family.
or uses the word Trinity.
Oh, uses the Trinity is not even the Bible, you know. But the concepts were founded there, and then through apostolic knowledge, you know, and that's why the church is founded on scripture and apostolic tradition, because Jesus probably told the apostles about it, but John says in his gospel at the end that Jesus said and did many things that are not recorded here. We only wrote down enough for you to believe. He said we wrote down everything, it would fill a library or more. A library couldn't hold it. And so he took, and so Jesus said that the Paraclete would remind you of all the things that I have commanded when you go forth and spread my word to the nations. And he said, I will send you the Paraclete, and he will remind you of all that I have commanded you.
So what do you have an explanation? Are you explaining what happened? I mean, because my father and I discussed this.
Saw that.
Why did it? No, I read it.
Yeah.
I've never seen that in the Bible.
You have that Bible?
Yes, I do.
But she said she can't find it again.
I mean, I've never read that in the Bible before. And I looked, you know, there's nothing. When you research it, is, you know.
I've never seen that in the Bible.
It rings a bell about the pillars, the righteous pillars of God, you know.
Yeah.
But we never read from the Bible again after that. That was the last time we did it. Yeah. Then he died shortly after that. Yeah. I mean, very soon. I felt like it was a personal message from God to my dad, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
It is interesting.
But it was really surprising.
Yeah.
You know?
It is interesting.
Well, when Carol first got MS 30 years ago, she was cured in front of the whole family on Good Friday. But anyway, that was, I said to the Lord, take my legs, put me in the chair, let her live a life, you know. But it was hard getting up in the morning, and I would open the book, and I'd say, you have to give me a thought for the day. 9 times out of 10, it was the healing.
Hmm.
9 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
The day was healing?
It dealt with
the
that.
Word.
Every page, and I opened it at random.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
It was always the healing.
That's how I did that reading, too. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My wife did that, too. She was.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
had a question. She told you about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a question, and so she was reading. She said, I need an answer to this question. So she opened the Bible, and right there was the answer to her question, you know. And so she's got kind of freaked out, you know. So she closed the Bible, turned on the television, EWTN was on, and it was the beginning of a new show, and the priest was talking about that very thing.
That's beautiful.
And the very next thing was in Spanish. She doesn't know Spanish.
Just in case.
But so she was kind of freaked out. So she said, well, now I know what the answer to my question was, you know.
Yeah.
But those kind of things happen.
Sunday Mass, does that not happen to you guys all the time? Yeah. My husband and I were having a discussion about what Father talked about. You know,
the night before. I'm thinking about something from the Divine Intimacy book, and that saying is in the sermon. 9 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My sister-in-law was going through a hard time when her father was dying, and he had really strange mood swings and angry, and she said that the homilies every week touched on it, and she even went to talk to the pastor about it, and she said, you got me through it. Every week you talked about something that she was dealing with.
Yeah.
So...
wow, God is alive. Well, I always say, you're real.
You're real. So many people in such a short time.
Well, God will always, when God infuses knowledge in you, he's going to teach you either about himself or about yourself. Mm-hmm. He's always going to give you what he knows you need. So whatever he gives you is different from what he gives me and everybody else. Because he's interested in your personal growth, your spiritual growth, and so that's what he's going to do. But Teresa says that he can infuse more knowledge in 1 second into your soul than you could gain by years and years of study.
Wow!
It just boom, it's just there.
I hope it does,
because he needs you. He wants you to have it. Sometimes he wants you to have it for some task he wants you to do.
There was some girl that went to Medjugorje, and she was converted because of it. And she had all of Catholicism infused into her, not having, and just went speaking all over a young person.
Yeah. Mm. That happens.
Yeah.
Wow.
So let's try to get one more question in before we leave. Sometimes the reason why the soul gets in its own way when it restrains itself or is restrained in its realization that it doesn't understand what it desires, and so the mind wanders from one extreme to the other, like a fool unable to rest in anything. So, to be just talking about the soul getting in its own way, what can you do to avoid getting in your own way at this stage of prayer? Do you have to understand what you desire? Do you have to understand what you desire?
Justice says you can't quiet your mind, that you shouldn't really try. So this, to me, is like the opposite, though.
Yeah.
Because your mind's wandering from one extreme to the other.
Does she want you just to quiet your mind so that God can do this?
I think it's people get restless because they desire something, and then when it's not happening, they're getting upset, okay? And I think the point she's trying to make here is that you should desire what God desires for you. And so if there's something you would like, or you have a petition, you say, please let this happen if it's your will. And otherwise, please give me whatever you know is the right thing for me or for whoever you're praying for. Maybe you're praying for a child instead of yourself.
And I always think, like I say to the Carmelites, I say, you know, sanctity is simple. We make it hard by, in your mind, going over and analyzing this and this and this. And don't get too caught up with the mind stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give it to God. He will work it out.
The little writing that Father does with the purple.
Yeah.
That's so much about, you know, the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? They put in their mind all this stuff. Like, I'm not doing all this stuff I have to do right away. I said it's a life journey of doing all this stuff.
Exactly.
I remember telling Father Smith, in confession, about having something change in my plan. Like, I didn't change it. Someone else changed it. And it, like, ruined my whole day. And I go, and I couldn't just, like, let it go. Like, just go. And he's like... Of course, he just said, you got to let it go.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, easier said than done, obviously. But
it wasn't God's plan.
Yeah.
There's an old saying that said, you want to give God a good laugh, tell him what your plans are.
Yeah. I like that.
And, you know, you don't know if it was for the better of, you know, you have to.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was really disappointed, and the day wasn't the way I thought it was going to be.
That happens.
But maybe it was better in another way that you can't see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And well, think of the martyrs. Their day didn't go the way they planned, but yet they ended up in heaven, you know.
Yeah.
Straight up, no stop and go.
Yeah, think of that kid that went to that island that they've never heard the word of God. He wasn't Catholic, but...
Oh, yeah.
And they killed him.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing about that.
A lot of the missionary martyrs died for those reasons. The ones right here in the United States, they were killed by the Indian tribes, you know.
But up in Minnesota, they did that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that. Jesuits?
Remember the Jesuits coming down through that area, St. Lawrence?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
North American martyrs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Orrietsville.
We had one priest who was a Jesuit, and that was it. And he didn't really talk to us very much.
And there was a group right in Stafford County, too.
Oh.
Father Andy Fisher. Well, Andy Fisher. He's pastor of one of the parishes. He was a really good friend of my son's, and he's writing a book right now on the Jesuit missionaries that were right here in Stafford.
Really? I didn't know there were any in this area.
Yeah.
Mm. Who's the priest that Father said died today?
Oh, I didn't
that
know.
Was at this parish.
Oh, who? I didn't hear it.
Who
the
was
pastor?
It? Oh, you couldn't hear.
I couldn't hear.
Oh. He said,
"Did
I
you
don't
hear
remember.
It?"
No.
It was a short name. It was a really short.
We prayed
name.
For him. He died. He was a pastor here.
Well, let's Google it. See if it'll come up.
You were meditating.
When did he say this?
Today.
Just right during the Mass. When was
today?
It?
Today.
He said it yesterday, Father Brian did, too.
Oh, so it's somebody who was a pastor here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a short
it's
name.
It's over 10 years ago.
Yeah, 30 years ago, he said.
Oh,
30.
Right?
So
maybe was pastor 30 years ago?
Oh, it could have been, yeah.
Oh, before me, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who
that
was.
Well, I was thinking of Thomas More, how he was a martyr in his way, because his feast day just passed, and I was reading one of his books. It's really good, Sadness of Christ.
Mm.
Okay, Teresa talks about the prayer of recollection, and she says, the prayer of recollection is much less intense than the prayer of spiritual delight from God that I mentioned, but it is the beginning through which one goes to the other. For in the prayer of recollection, meditation or the work of the intellect must not be set aside, whereas in the prayer of union, the meditation is set aside. In the prayer of spiritual delight, the will has such deep rest in its God that the clamor of the intellect is a terrible bother to it. There's no need to pay any attention to this clamor, for doing so would make the will lose much of what it enjoys. But one should let the intellect go and surrender oneself into the arms of love, for His Majesty will teach the soul what it must do at that point. Almost everything lies in finding oneself unworthy of so great a good and in being occupied with giving thanks. So how do you have such a focus on God and a lack of focus on yourself? You got to have self-knowledge and humility to succeed. Again, those two things keep coming up over and over again.
Bless you. God bless you.
So when God has given you these graces, you focus totally on Him. Mm. You know, you focus on the fact that He loves you enough to give you the graces in the first place, and then you thank Him for those graces.
Just concentrate on Him.
Just concentrate on Him.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a short name.
You just concentrate on Him and not on yourself.
Were you here 30 years ago? In this parish?
I wasn't.
Mm.
And it takes practice.
Yeah.
You can't just do that in a week.
Yeah.
I think also asking God to help you do it.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. But again, the focus is on Him, on His love, and you place yourself totally in His hands. You say, do whatever you want with me. You know, use me any way you want to use me. Then you let Him decide how that's going to play out.
But I think you have to be emptied out pretty much to be able to do that, because otherwise our ego just gets in the
That's
way
right.
all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But there's one thing about that is sometimes more people get involved in that, and I think you can say, only me, just me.
What do you mean, more people get involved? Like, I don't know what you mean.
Well, when you open yourself up to God and say, you know.
Yeah.
I would like to do this for you. I would, you know, maybe that's the trouble, getting yourself in the way of it. It's saying what you want to do.
What you want. You're telling Him what your plans are.
Because then it ends up turning into a big mess.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think of my thought is to say something like, well, you know, I really would like this to happen, but I will be done.
Yeah.
You know, you might have a different idea. And if it is, help me to accept this change.
And there's nothing wrong with that. If you look at that prayer, the Fiat to the Eternal Father, I don't know if you have that card, but it right there at the bottom of the first page, of the cover of the card, it says I want you to bring me your needs and desires. Mm-hmm. I want you to bring them to me. He doesn't say He's going to give them all to you, but He says I want you to tell me what your needs and desires are, because He knows you have them. You know, why try to hide it? But then when you turn it over and say the actual prayer, it's a prayer to Him. He says, you know, let your will be done. Never leave my soul. Do not abandon me. So it's all about Him turning yourself over to Him, placing yourself in His hands.
Just refocusing.
Yeah, it's a refocus.
And it's like He gives us the desires of our heart. I love that in one of the Psalms. It's like sometimes I always say, like, if you're not praying for something or asking Him directly and it happens, I go, wow, he really knew in the mind. Yeah. You know, it's like, that blows my mind.
He always knows what you want.
Really?
Yeah. That happens. It's like a little wish. You're wishing really hard.
It's a wish. It's a wish of something. Yeah. And then it happens, really, but you never said a prayer without
just taking care of you, right?
Oh, I say a gift to my husband and daughter.
So we always forget about that, that God knows us better than we know ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So we don't, even if we're not sure about what we want, he knows what's best. And so he's going to take care of us, you know?
Yeah.
He's a loving father. He's not some mean ogre like a lot of people think he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a loving father, and so he's going to take care of you. He's going to do for you more than your natural father could ever do for you. Because with him, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. You know, he has no limits to what he can do.
Back to the Fiat.
Yes.
When I found it, has what he says he will do afterward. We're not supposed to, that's not part of the prayer, right?
No.
The prayer ends at, I offer up this fiat through Mary to Jesus,
right,
to you.
That's the end of the prayer.
Okay.
And then it tells you what he will do, what he says he will do for you. Mm-hmm. He's going to do a lot of things for you, but you don't always know what those are.
Yeah.
You know, but he knows what's best for you. That's the important thing. He always knows what's best for you. I mean, we always think we know what's best. Oh, I'd love to do this. But he knows best, you know.
Yeah.
We don't.
I'd love to go water skiing. No.
You break your neck if you do.
You know? Well, you know, who knows this on tape, though?
That's a problem.
Yeah, my daughter has got to move out of her apartment, so she's looking for a place. Yeah. And she kind of wanted to stay in Maryland, but she can't afford anything, so she's looking in Baltimore.
Maryland's expensive.
So we went to Baltimore, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of homeless.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a terrible.
It was pretty.
That's like San Francisco.
Yeah. The building she found was really nice, but
in neighborhood.
And then we walked to another place, and on the walk there, there's a St. Jude shrine.
Mm.
And I said, let's go in there.
Yeah.
It was cool. You put your money in, they got all these candles, and we're trying to figure out how to light them. It's a button.
Oh,
never saw that before. Anyways, and I said, let's pray to get a good place, because this is kind of like disheartening.
Yeah.
And then the next place we saw, I was like, no, part of the building was condemned. And so we're driving home, and she goes, maybe I'll take that first place. And I'm like, oh, I really don't want her to live.
Yeah.
She's even farther away. She gets home, and that night she goes, I think I found a place in Arlington. Will you go look at it with me?
Oh.
We went and looked, and she signed up for it.
God.
Oh, good.
Oh,
well, good. She's better off there anyway.
Oh, yes.
It's nice buildings, all families, and, you know, it's lower income. But
yeah. Oh, that's good.
That's good.
I mean, that's like a worry, God's hearing, you know.
Yeah.
How can it be lower income in Arlington? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's surprising.
She's getting, what do you call it, efficiency studio. It's like It's like nothing, you know. But she's like, oh, I don't care. I want a hole in the wall. I don't want a roommate.
Right.
You know?
Sounds
okay,
nice.
It's almost time to end, so we'll quit here for the day. We'll pick up at 439 one next time.
Okay.
Anybody have any final thoughts on anything before we go for the day?
Do you have any copies of the paper of the questions?
I do, as a matter of fact. So we will finish for this week and see you next week.
No, next week, right? That's
next week. Next week's 4th of July weekend.
Sarah,
see you in 2 weeks.
Okay, 2 weeks.
Have a great holiday. See you.
Well, probably, you know.
Give Mary Beth our regards.
Oh, okay.
We miss her.
She misses you guys, too.
Well, it's good to have you back.
It's good. You know Elsie that sits in front of
What's your last name if I'm talking to Ben? Let me write down women. Annie.
That was so nice. I just visited her.
Butler. Oh, that's a pretty name, Butler.
But it was so nice. And
how do you live in
Annie
Butler?
They have rooms.
And
Ben
Haynes.
Wonderful women.
Two rooms.
It's right all around the shrine here.
Here's the fourth of fifth.
The big one. You know.
See, I don't. You have
the basilica. It's right near the basilica.
Painting.
With